The joy of talking with Heidi this week. She sends her greetings to the church here. She sends her greetings and is so thankful for a church that is praying for her. You know, if from the beginning of our time together this morning from Isaiah 40, get you up to a high mountain and proclaim good news to all that we have sung and read this morning together, and with some of us with great forcefulness and excitement as we've worshiped. If we could live in that, we will be a church that endures to the end, and we will be saved. So all that you have spoken this morning is a yes and amen. And now let's look a little bit at the foundation that will enable us and help us to carry out the very things that we've proclaimed with our mouths as we have worshiped this morning. So let's begin again with a word of prayer, and then we'll jump into our text. Father, we are so thankful to be your children this morning because of Christ and what Jesus is doing in and through us by the power of your Spirit. Thank you. Right now, will you take and would you multiply again? You did that through Jesus, 5 loaves and 2 fish, and it became enough to feed a multitude. Take your word this morning and multiply it in our lives. Let the words of my mouth and the meditations of my heart be acceptable in your sight as it's spoken here at Jubilee. We ask in Christ's name. Amen. Well, this morning we are focusing on missions. And when we speak of missions, we often remember a passage from Matthew chapter 28, right? Go therefore and make disciples of all nations, Jesus said to his disciples, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I have commanded you and taught you, and behold, I'm with you always to the end of the age. Today we're going to see that those who endure to the end will be saved. Well, when we think about missions, we think about the gospel, don't we? We think about the gospel. We think about what God has done in our lives, and we think about those who've had very little opportunity to hear this gospel in our neighborhoods, in our city, around the world. Missions is sharing the truth of the gospel that we know and that we love. When we think about missions, we think about the work of in Indonesia, don't we? Blake and Melody with their family seeking to do church planting. We're going to pray about them and with them tonight. We think about Heidi there in Turkey. And not just Heidi. Did you know we have Holly and we have Christine, who also were a part of us, who are sent out, who are there in Turkey ministering? We think about the Larsons, who are even now seeking to begin the work of church planting in Gothenburg, Sweden. And we think about Cameroon and our part to play in Cameroon in the years to come in sending out the Tomfus. We think about a work that we jumped into for a little while in Bangladesh, a work that we jumped into for a little while in Peru. We had someone in Haiti this summer. We think about the work of sharing what God has done in our lives with a world that desperately needs him. Missions is making clear and simple to others that great and gracious work of God that we have experienced and are living in our own lives. Missions is seeing Jesus leave the glories of heaven, right? And give his life as a sacrifice for our lives so that we might know the joy of the Father. And then missions is turning and doing the very same thing that our brother Jesus has done, and giving ourselves to that same purpose for the life of others, so that they might know this glorious Father and life that we have been given. Well, if you look at Paul's proclamation, We're not going to go there, but if you listen to it and look at Paul's proclamation concerning the good news in his letter to the church of the Colossians. Now, if you've been here for 7 years, we studied Colossians, but some of you have been. But he says this, he says, "For in him, Jesus, all the fullness of God was pleased to dwell." Think about that for a moment. All the fullness of God was pleased to dwell in the person Jesus, in the man Jesus, the Word who became flesh, who lived among us. God was pleased to dwell in his fullness in Jesus. To what end? To what end? To what purpose? So that we might be reunited with the Father, reconciled through Jesus to the Father. Listen to it. Listen to the cost involved. "For in him, Jesus, all the fullness of God was pleased to dwell, and through him to reconcile to himself all things, whether on earth or in heaven, making peace by the blood of his cross." Making peace by the blood of his cross. The cost was his own blood, wasn't it? The sacrifice of his life. It was given for the sake of another. Why? Why would Jesus do that? Why? Why would you go to Indonesia? Because knowing God the Father in the mind of Jesus, in his heart, is worth any sacrifice, even death, so that the life of the Father might be given to those who were created to dwell in that life. Jesus, being fully God, was pleased to sacrifice his life so that you and I might know life with the Father. And missions is all about us living now that same sacrificial life that Jesus lived, so that others might know the treasure of the life in the Father. "I came," Jesus said, "that they might have life, and that they might have it." "This is eternal life," he said, "that they know you, Father, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom you have sent." So the gospel is that in Christ, God was reconciling the world to himself, not counting their trespasses against them. And missions is that God is entrusting to us the message of reconciliation. Therefore, we are ambassadors for Christ, God making his appeal through us. So the gospel message is supposed to go out, isn't it? It's supposed to go out to the world through those of us who have reaped the benefits of that message. We are blessed so that others might receive the very same blessing through our lives. Isn't that amazing? A message of repentance and forgiveness of sin is to go forth into the world through your life. This isn't just for those who go overseas. This is for all of us who belong to Christ Jesus. This is why we've been given life even today, that this message might go forth. Does this sound familiar? Listen to these words. Jesus came declaring that he is our Jubilee. That's gospel. That's taken right out of our vision for this church. And now listen to mission. And he has commissioned us to declare that message of Jubilee as his ambassadors. That's why this little family of believers called Jubilee was formed. Why God has put us together. So what I want you to do this morning with me is turn to Matthew chapter 24. Matthew chapter 24. And we're going to be looking back at the tail end of 23 and then the first verses of Matthew chapter 24. Now go ahead and find that. A little background. Jesus is coming to the end of his earthly ministry, and he's speaking to his disciples of the last days. When he comes to the text we're going to focus on, which is Matthew chapter 24, verse 14. We'll read that together, or read that right now. He says, "And this gospel of the kingdom will be proclaimed throughout the whole world as a testimony to all nations, and then the end will come." Well, I want us to look back at the context of these verses by looking across the page, or across the whatever you have in your Bible, it might be the very same page, to verse 37 of chapter 23. Verse 37 of chapter 23. All right, so we're going to find here in this little text here, we're going to find Jesus weeping over Jerusalem because of their lack of desire, their lack of willingness to humble themselves and receive from God. So let me just read these verses to you. Jesus says, "O Jerusalem, Jerusalem, the city that kills the prophets and stones those who are sent to it. How often would I have gathered your children together as a hen gathers her brood under her wings, and you would not. See, your house is left to you desolate. For I tell you that you will not see me again until you say, 'Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord.'" Well, what does this text tell us? They kill the prophets. They stone those who are sent to them. They refuse to listen to the truth. Does this stop God from continuing to proclaim his gospel message? No. No. They stone the prophets, those who are sent to them. They kill them. Does this stop God from declaring his gospel message? No, he sends his son from himself. In the midst of their refusal, he sends his son to proclaim his truth and his heart's desire for them. So do we stop going to the hard places in the world because of past and current refusal? Do we stop talking to our neighbor because of something that maybe went awry in a conversation? There's something greater than the messenger and the proclamation even of that message than just the acceptance on the part of the hearer, even though that is glorious. There's something very important in God being revealed through the messenger and the proclamation of that message. So in the midst of their refusal, Jesus comes. So what does Jesus do? He weeps. He laments their pride, their inability to see life, the very life that he's offering to them. Verse 37, he says, "How often would I have gathered your children together as a hen gathers her brood under her wings, and you would not." Do you hear his heart? His longing is for his Jewish family to just be gathered into his arms. He wants to give life to them. The problem is that most of them, and many of us in the world today, don't see ourselves as children any longer. We see ourselves as adults, as, you know, we've got it together. I mean, this idea of running under a chicken, wings of a chicken, for refuge is not very adultish. It's not very American. Doesn't seem like it would be very life-giving. "How often I have wanted to gather your children together as a hen gathers her brood under her wings, and you would not." It's very sobering. Very sobering. Well, Jesus is highlighting here, of course, the lost condition of our world, isn't he? Maybe some of our own hearts in this room. "You would not." The stubbornness of our flesh, right there in the most religious center of the world, Jerusalem. Maybe right here in the midst of a worship gathering of Jubilee, Jesus is saying, "You have refused me in this area of your life, in that area of your life. You've refused your only salvation. You've refused the very life for which you were created." Verse 38, see, "Your house is left to you desolate." God, the very one who they say they're seeking, The very one they say they are seeking has left their place of worship. He's not there. Left to you desolate. Their religion is rendered useless. It's worthless. It's desolate because God is no longer the center of it. How about our lives? How about our worship? He's no longer there. There is no longer any life. And all over the world today, even here in Minnesota, people continue to work their religions, believing that through those religious exercises, somehow they will gain some aspect of life. Can't even define it. Can't even understand what that might be, that for which they were created. Those religions have names, and some of them are cloaked in the name Christian. And they all have one thing in common. They have no life in them because God is not present. Your house is left to you desolate. So Jesus is making it very clear in this text that you can enjoy all the religion you want. And Jubilee, we want to be very careful with this. And we want to encourage one another and pursue one another that this doesn't happen, that the heart of any one of us doesn't grow cold. You can pursue all the religious exercises that you desire. But if you reject the one sent from the Father, the Word who became flesh, you have forsaken life itself. And you have exchanged life for a lifeless religious form that is absolutely useless. And when we hear the words of Jesus saying something and we turn and we go a different direction, we have forsaken life. And I think all of us can say, Lord, help me, help me. It is so easy to follow the pattern of the world rather than following you, life. Well, I want you to understand verse 14 of chapter 24 here. I want you to understand verse 14 from the context of these verses, of what's going on. We know the disciples didn't fully understand because Jesus has been talking in the temple, and as they're leaving the temple, the disciples reflect back and say, Lord, what about these buildings? What about these stones? They're still thinking about the structure. They're still thinking about the religious aspect. And Jesus' response to them is very solemn. It's a prophetic word. He says, you see all these, do you not? Chapter 24, verse 2. You see all these, do you not? Truly I say to you, there will not be left here one stone upon another that will not be thrown down. Man loves to build structures. We love to build structures and put our confidence in them. And Jesus very calmly tells his disciples here in verse 2 that this structure of worship will be destroyed. There is no salvation in the structures of men, Jubilee. Let's not run to the structures of men. Let's allow the structures that are built to only be tools that point us to Christ. Useful tools in our family, useful tools in the church that point us, that point one another to Christ. Man loves to build structures, and Jesus says, if I'm not the center of it, there is no salvation in it. He says, I am the object of your salvation, for I tell you, you will not see me again until you say, blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. That's back in chapter 23. Until people recognize that Jesus is salvation, they will not know the presence of the Lord. This is the gospel of the kingdom. It's got to be proclaimed in the whole earth. There is no other answer, folks. There is no other one to be proclaimed. It is Jesus Christ who has come in the flesh. And we are his messengers. We are his ambassadors to a world that desperately needs him. Jesus is the only hope that we have, and he is the hope that we offer to the world around us. The world is lost. Minneapolis is lost without Jesus. And Jesus makes that's a hard thing to say, isn't it? Because you look at all the life around you and it all seems so good. I mean, it seems to be working okay, you know? People have their lives. And to go lostness apart from Christ. But this is not an answer that you and I have thought up in our own little minds. This is the truth that God has given to us in honoring and exalting His Son, that we might know the joy of a relationship with the Father. Well, let's look in verses 3 through 12, because Jesus is going to make some remarkable statements in these verses leading up to our text, as He explains what the disciples can expect from the world and what you and I can expect from this world in which we live. It's not very promising in many sense. It's actually very sobering. So let's read these verses 3 through 12. As Jesus, later he went out from Jerusalem, they were up on the Mount of Olives. As Jesus sat on the Mount of Olives, the disciples came to him privately, saying, "Tell us, when will these things be?" Referring to the destruction of the temple. "When will these things be? What will be the sign of your coming and of the close of the age?" Verse 4, Jesus answered them, "See that no one leads you astray, for many will come in my name, saying, 'I am the Christ, I am the answer, I am the solution, I am the salvation, I am the Christ,' and they will lead many astray." There are many religions in our world today, folks. People who have been led astray. "And you will hear of wars and rumors of wars. See that you are not alarmed, for this must take place, but the end is not yet." Verse 7, "For nation will rise against nation, kingdom against kingdom, and there will be famines and earthquakes in various places. All these are but the beginning of the birth pains." It's going to get worse. It's going to get harder. Verse 9, "Then they will deliver you up to tribulation and put you to death, and you will be hated by all nations for my name's sake." But Lord, I don't want to be hated. I want to be liked by my neighbors. I want to be liked by the people in my workplace. Sobering, isn't it? You will be hated for my name's sake. It really is a choice, isn't it? Do I want to live for the honor and the glory of Jesus, or do I want to live for the honor and the glory of me, Dan Porch? Verse 10, "And then many will fall away and betray one another and hate one another. And many false prophets will arise and lead many astray. And because lawlessness will be increased, the love of many will grow cold." Sobering. So what church will be saved? Who will be saved? Who will know the salvation and the joy of life eternal with the Father? Look at verse 13. "But the one who endures to the end will be saved." According to verse 13, only those who endure, only those who endure for the sake of Jesus' name will be saved. Those who endure in righteousness versus lawlessness. He's just talking about lawlessness. Those who endure in love rather than love that's grown cold, self-centeredness. Those who continue with a God-focused, with a Bible-saturated heart and mindset, that church will be saved. That church will stand firmly to the end. These are the ones who know the God of salvation, who know and experience life in His name from day to day, in the home, with the children, in the office, with co-workers, in the neighborhood, with friends. These are the ones who know this God of salvation, who know and experience life in His name, and who are free and empowered by the Holy Spirit to love those around them with righteousness and justice, with acts of righteousness, acts of justice, and words that proclaim truth. Powerful words in a world that is dying and going to hell. And these are the proclaimers that are mentioned in our verse
verse 14. So here we are, verse 14. These are the proclaimers. Let's read it. Verse 14. And this gospel of the kingdom will be proclaimed throughout the whole world as a testimony to all nations, and then the end will come. This gospel of the kingdom will be proclaimed. This is Jesus speaking. Note the certainty. This gospel of the kingdom will be proclaimed. So he's not saying this to rally you to action. He's not doing this to rally you to action, as if somehow this all depends upon Jubilee. No. But listen. He's shouting loudly that the good news of God's kingdom will be proclaimed as a testimony, as a witness, as an evidence to the nations that God is God and He is the author of salvation. And then the end will come, the return of Jesus, the close of the age. It will be proclaimed, this gospel of the kingdom, and it will be done through the lives of God's people, those who endure, as a testimony, as an evidence of the power and the life of God flowing through our lives. Actively at work, establishing His kingdom. Work out your salvation jubilee with fear and trembling, because it's God who's at work in you to will and to do according to His good pleasure. It will be proclaimed, and it will be proclaimed through the church. We are His ambassadors. So God is inviting us to gather. Where are we going to gather? Under His wings, in dependence upon Him. He's asking us to come, be of one heart and one mind, and use the life that He's given to us with authority, the authority that He's given to us to proclaim and to bless for all nations. You know, it really does kind of take your breath away, doesn't it? When you realize, I mean, mine's just dry, but when you realize that God wants to accomplish, and God is bringing about, God is accomplishing His purpose through our lives. He said, come to me, come gather underneath, and we're going to go together. We're going to go together. I will not leave you to the end of the age. I'm with you. Together, as you depend upon me, I'm going to take the littleness of your life, and I'm going to multiply it. And people are going to see me through your life. That's what He's inviting us into. He's not asking you to dig deeper in your pocket and pull out the last vestiges. No, it's not about you. It's not about me. It's about Him at work. Him at work in and through our lives. It's about coming to Him, and in the power that He gives, going out. Well, the end of life as we know it will come. That's another thing this text lets us know. The end of life as we know it will come. And then the end will come. Jesus made it very clear. The end will come, Jubilee. The end will come. So don't build here. Don't build a castle here. Don't build your treasure here. The end will come. You've seen hurricanes. You've seen earthquakes. Hello? God is saying, don't build here. It'll be destroyed. Jesus said, work not for the food that perishes. Work for that which will endure to eternal life, which I will give you.
Jubilee, we prosper because of gospel grace that has been given to us. It's been poured into our lives. I just gloried in the work of the Lord today as we worshiped, just knowing that God has worked so abundantly and so mightily in your lives, in our lives as a church. As Brian prayed, there is hurt in this room. There are marriages that are struggling in this room. There are dreams that haven't been fulfilled. But there's hope. There is hope in this room. And it came out as people sang, as people worshiped, as people bellowed and said, I want to proclaim Christ because Christ is all. There's hope. And it's God who is just pouring out into our lives and saying, come, come, come. Don't try to do it in your own. Don't stick your fingers down in your pocket to see if you've got enough for me. No, I'm the one who opens wide your pocket and fills it in order that you might bless others. I'm always telling the staff, you know, I'm always chatting about things, and stories just always come to my mind. I'm saying, oh, shoot, here comes another story. But they just pop into my mind. Stories actually just of how God has met and how God accomplishes. My dad was down in Florida working for a mission, and he had to go to the Peruvian consulate down in Miami. And from where he went to this place down in Miami, it was about an hour and a half train ride. So he's on the train, he's going down there, he's working for missionaries. Hey, this is all about the kingdom. This is gospel work, you know. He's up there at the consulate, Peruvian consulate, and dad, of course, was in South America, he speaks Spanish, and he's in the line and waiting to get to the window, and he gets to the window, all prepared to pay the amount that needed to be paid, and he got to the window, had his money all there with it, and the lady said, the fee has changed. You need another $100. And I said, well, I just came, and I don't have, and he didn't. You know, he wasn't really much of a card-carrying, credit card kind of guy. The fee has changed. You need cash. You need to pay another $100. But I just stood in, the fee has changed. So my dad got out of line. He went back, went to the elevator, punched the button, and said, Lord, why? I mean, really, come on. This is all about you. This is all, why? Gets on the elevator, punches one to go down, puts his hand in his pocket, pulls out a $100 bill. My dad keeps putting his hand in his pocket now to see if there's not more. But it's the idea. Don't look in your pocket to see if you have something. Rather, open it wide so that God can fill your life with himself, that you might use it for the kingdom. He didn't spend that $100 at McDonald's. He used it for the kingdom and continues to praise God for his grace. God will accomplish his purposes, Jubilee, and he will do it through his people. This gospel will be proclaimed throughout the whole world through the lives of his people. And he's asking you and he's asking me to awaken. Every day, you wake up every morning, right? Whether it's to an alarm clock that goes, wah, 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 or to one that sings a nice little song, wake up, it's morning. Okay? He's called every day. You have an opportunity to wake up and to declare these truths to yourself. To say, gospel has been given to me this morning. I'm awake. I have life. It's a gift. Gospel has been given to me in order that I might give it to my wife, to my children, to my roommates, to my workmates, to my neighborhood. God wants so much for the truth of this gospel to flow through your life as you interact with those around you. Families, the gospel, this truth about it being proclaimed throughout the whole world and the end will come, should affect every decision you make.
It should affect the way that we do business, the way that we drive our cars, the way that we interact with the world around us. It's part of proclaiming the gospel of the kingdom. This gospel of the kingdom will be proclaimed. Will it be proclaimed through your life? Missions is being a proclaimer of the gospel of a kingdom that's evidenced through the love and the righteousness of your life. In a world where lawlessness is coming, where love is growing, love is growing cold, and where it's not going to be easy to be such a proclaimer. So again, let me just ask you this question. Who will know the life? The end will come, and he says, those who endure to the end will be saved. So in that little phrase, who will be saved? Who will know this life? Those who endure, right? Those who endure. The church that endures in a place of service in the kingdom of God, that church will be saved. It's not just about going to church. It's not just about being a member of a church. It's about enduring in a place of service in the kingdom of God. That church will be saved. We are ambassadors for Christ. We are giving life in order that we might represent Christ. God is making his appeal to South Minneapolis through us. God is making his appeal to your family, to your children, through mom and dad. God is making his appeal through us, even when the circumstances are very, very difficult. Remember that life is not about us, okay? Keep that in mind. Life is not about us, but life is about God. And that's why Paul can say, we are the true believers who worship by the Spirit of God, who glory in Christ Jesus, and who put no confidence in ourselves, in our flesh. Therefore, we can use every resource that's given to us for the benefit of others, seeking to point them to the treasure of Jesus. And Jesus says that when this benefit that we've received has been proclaimed to the whole world, the end will come. The end will come. And we will be saved along with those who have believed. So to what does the fruit of your life, Jubilee? What does the fruit of our life together and the fruit of your life as a family or your life as an individual, what does the fruit of your life, to what does it bear witness? To what does the fruit of your life bear witness? To bear witness to the worth and the glory of the one who's returning? Does it bear witness to the worth and the glory of the one who is returning? Jesus Christ? Or does the fruit of your life bear witness to the worth and the glory of this world? It's really hard, Jesus said, for the wealthy to enter the kingdom of heaven. It's really hard because we're so distracted by the world. We're so distracted by the structures of the world, by the designs of the world, by the pursuit of what our culture says is important. So ask yourself that question. What does the fruit of my life, to what does the fruit of my life bear witness? To what does the fruit of my life bear witness? The worth and glory of Jesus, or the worth and glory of this world? Jesus is saying, come, join me. Come, join me. Come, find refuge in me. Come, join me in the proclamation of the glory of my Father, that many might be saved. And this gospel of the kingdom will be proclaimed. It's certain throughout the whole world as a testimony to all nations. And we want to be, as a church, those proclaimers right here and throughout the world where God has sent us to date. There may be many more places where he ends up sending us. And then the end will come. Let me turn back to Isaiah chapter 40, what we started with, and read once again those words in closing here. Verse 9, he says, "Get you up to a high mountain, O Zion, herald of good news. Lift up your voice with strength, O Jerusalem, herald of good news. Lift it up, fear not. Say to the cities of Judah, behold your God. Behold, the Lord comes with might, and his arm rules for him. Behold, his reward is with him, and his recompense before him. Behold your God." And when it's hard, to represent him, listen to what he says. "He will tend his flock like a shepherd. He will gather the lambs in his arms. He will carry them in his bosom and gently lead those that are with young." Let's pray. Father, we want so much to be proclaimers. We really do here at Jubilee. We're proclaiming this morning with worship, and we want to be proclaimers with works of righteousness, with works of justice, with help, with words that proclaim truth as we interact with neighbors, as we interact with people who are very different from us. As we learn from them, we want to proclaim. We want to be proclaimers. And so we run to you. We just run to you. We run to the protection of your wings. We run as we hear the invitation, come. We run in order that your authority and your strength and your power might be manifested through us. And it might not be about us, but about making you known through our lives. Oh Lord, 5 loaves and 2 fish, as we see it, just aren't that much. But you can take them and multiply them to feed a multitude, whether it's in Indonesia or Turkey or Sweden or Cameroon, or whether it's here in South Minneapolis or church planting in North Minneapolis or wherever it is that you have us, some of us working in St. Paul, some of us working in the suburbs. Lord, wherever it is, multiply, proclaim through our lives, enabling us that the words that we say, that the ways in which we interact with those around us would point them to the treasure of Jesus. Father, we're just so thankful that we don't have to dig into our pockets to find the right resource. Rather, we open wide our lives and say, Lord, fill us, that your purposes might be accomplished in our families, through our church, that we might endure to the end in righteousness and in love, and that you might return and find us hard at work as a people. So may your kingdom come and may your will be done, we ask in Christ's name. Amen. Well, after we're done here in just a moment, there'll be some elders, leaders up here in front. If you'd like to come, if you want to just interact, or if you want to have someone pray with you, people are here. But I just want to encourage us as, again, that body, that family, to be thinking about, how can I encourage those who are next to me? We're all hurting. We're all in need of one another. So encourage one another, point one another to Jesus, and pray with and for one another. And I want to invite you back this evening. We're going to ask God to work some of this very good work in and through our lives this evening as we're here, as we pray for the city and pray for this world. So come, we'll share a little bit about what's going on in all of our different places where we're ministering. And we'll be excited to come and then eat together afterwards. Why don't you rise and we'll pronounce a benediction. Now may the God of peace himself sanctify you completely. And may your whole spirit and soul and body be kept blameless at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. He who calls you is faithful. He will surely do it. Go in peace. Amen.